Well, gang, great to be together as we kick off this brand new year. Happy New Year to everybody. Yeah, welcome, welcome. Those of you who are catching this online, if you're catching it through our podcast or through our app, welcome you as well. As we kick off this year, 2020, we're starting a brand new series that I've entitled The God Who, and each week we're going to dig into a different action that God has resolved to do, right? So oftentimes, a new year start, people talk about, well, here's what I'm going to do in the new year, and our resolutions make it till about January 10th before we kind of all fall off the wagon a little bit there, but God's different than us. So we're going to look at what God has resolved to do. Now, why would we do that? Here's why. Because what God does tells us who God is. What God does tells us who God is. This is true of all relationships, right? If someone says that they're good and patient and kind, then you would expect to see good and patient and kind actions come from their lives, because our actions reveal our character, they reveal our heart. Proverbs 20 verse 11 says it this way, "Even children are known by the way they act, whether their conduct is pure and whether it is right." So in this new year, if you want to know God better, then you need to know God's actions better so that you can have eyes of faith to begin to look for those actions that God wants to do in your life. In fact, when we start a new year, we all say, Happy New Year. But there's actually a word in the Bible for that word happy, and the word is blessed. So we're going to kick off this new decade, I guess it is, with this action of the God who blesses. Now, this word blessing, it's one of those words that can kind of get thrown around a little bit, be a little bit of jargon. We kind of know what it means, but kind of don't. So we're going to dig in, and we're going to look at how do we experience God's blessing in our life, and when it comes our way, what do we actually do with it, and why does that matter for us as we enter this new year? So we're going to consider all that, but before we do, let's pray. God, we are so grateful for a fresh year with you. And Lord, we pray now that you would speak to us on this first weekend of the new year as we set our hearts and minds, our wills towards you. Would you speak to us from your word? Lord, for those that don't know you, I pray you would draw them to yourself. Those that do know you, would you deepen our understanding of your heart and of your character? Give us eyes of faith coming from your word to look for your actions in our everyday life. So Lord, as we come now to your word, speak, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can flip it open to this little center section. You'll see the teaching notes that are there, as well as the scriptures that we're going to dig into. If you're catching it online, you can click and get the notes there as well. Well, blessing is one of those words that is used in the Bible. It's used by people not just in the Bible. It's used every day in our everyday world, and we kind of know what it means, but kind of sometimes maybe don't. So when someone sneezes, we say, God bless you, right? And when something good happens in our life, we snap a picture of it for our socials, and we mark it hashtag blessed, right? Hashtag blessed is one of the most used hashtags on Instagram. Over 100 million times it has been used that people are hashtag blessed. But what does God have to say to us about what it means to be blessed or to truly be happy in this new year? The first thing we get from God's word is this, is that blessing always begins with God to create abundant life. Now, this word bless in the Hebrew, what it means is to confer abundant or effective life on someone or something. So if you are willing to receive it, God is wanting to confer effective and abundant life on you in 2020. But you have to be willing to believe that and receive it, look for it by faith. In Genesis, God starts by creating, and then God blesses. We get this in chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "So God created the great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas. Let the birds multiply on the earth.'" So because of God's heart of grace, He's making this action of reproduction, of fruitfulness, what he calls blessing. He's blessing them so that they're fruitful, so that they're abundant. In fact, that word bless or blessed is used over 400 times in the Old Testament alone, showing that God is just wanting over and over and over again to bless his creation. We continue on the story. It says this, that God then created human beings, and quote, so God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God then blessed them. We see it again. God creates and then blesses. Blessed them and said, same thing, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and steward it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So God made us male and female and created marriage between a man and a woman as part of his design that we would be fruitful and that we would multiply in abundance. And this abundant life that God has for us, this fruitful life, includes not only work and creation and fruitfulness, but it also includes rest. In fact, by the time we get kind of to the end of the week, God blesses the final day of the week, the seventh day of the week. He sets it aside, calls it a Sabbath day. He blesses it. We're going to talk more about God's blessing next week and how that helps renew us. And so God not only blesses our relationships with each other, he blesses us to be fruitful, fruitful in our work as well as in our lives and our relationships. He even blesses our days off, that there could be a renewal that occurs in us that we'll dig into more next week on that one. The second thing we see about God's blessing is this, is that God creates us to be both blessees and blessers. I don't even know if blessees is a word, but I made it up and it is one now. God creates us to be both blessees as well as blessers. This becomes clear when you continue on in the book of Genesis. God's talking to a man named Abraham, and he says to him in Genesis 12, 2, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. So blessing always begins with God, but through Abraham, God wants to spread his blessings to the people of every nation. God's plan is that he wants to bless you, but he also wants you to give and become a blessing to others. This is part of what it means to be created in the image of God. Of this God who blesses, because we begin to reveal his image in us when we bless others. When we do what God does, though it's in a more limited way than God's capacity to do it, when we do what God does, we're reflecting, we're revealing, in a sense, we're polishing and allowing God's image to shine through us. Now, this is kind of the big problem. We can tend to think sometimes, well, how do I enhance my own blessing? I mean, if God wants to bless me, then I want to just kind of collect up as much blessing as I can possibly collect up. And as a result of sin, we then can, in our fear, in our self-centeredness, we can begin to choke off some of what God's intended and designed flow of blessing. Accumulating blessings can become a way of life. It's interesting to me that hashtag blessed has been used over 100 million times. But hashtag blessed to bless has only been used 10,000 times. When we are more concerned about accumulating blessings rather than spreading God's blessings, the result is that those around us become a blessing-hungry, blessing-starved people who feel like they're damaged goods because they're living apart from the blessing that God designed to come through you, that God designed to come through me. Years ago, there was a show, Saturday Night Live. Maybe some of you saw this skit. There was a character named Stuart Smalley on the skit, and he would stare into a mirror, and he would look into the mirror, and he would say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me, right? Every human being needs an assurance of value, needs an assurance of a blessing. But here's the thing about blessing in the scripture, and this is a key insight for our culture. Blessing has to come from outside of yourself. It has to come from outside of yourself. Another pastor told me that a woman he knew used to always look in the mirror in the morning and she would say, true story, she would say, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful. And he said the saddest thing was is that she never really believed that about herself because no one else ever said it to her. See, the thing about blessing is you can't bless yourself. Author Mark Buchanan writes about a group of children who were asked about what the word love means. And love is very interconnected with this idea of blessing in Scripture. And so Rebecca, age 8, said this, when my grandmother got arthritis, she could not bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does this for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. This is blessing. Billy, age 4, said this, love, when someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Isn't that a wonderful way of putting it? Let me ask you, CA, as we enter into this new year, whose toenails are you painting? Whose name is safe in your mouth? Who would say that they find you to be a blessing, that you bring effective and abundant life into their life? When they're around you, you leave them better off in some way, shape, or form than before they encountered you. That is the happy life this new year. That is the blessed life. God wants to bless you, but then he wants to empower you to become a blessing to someone else, to those around you. And when you bless someone else, you reflect the very image of God in a clear way. This God who created you in his image and designed you not only to receive his blessing, but then to spread his blessing. This brings us to the third thing we see about blessing in the Scripture, which is this, that God's blessing involves a new name tied to a message. God blesses Abram. That name means high father. Gives him a message about what God's going to do in the future and Abram's future. And then he changes Abram's name to Abraham. And his name changes from meaning high father to meaning father of many nations. We pick it up in Genesis 17, verse 3. It says, at this, Abram fell down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. You will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. There you see again. Fruitfulness tied to blessing. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations and kings will be among them. Now, further on in the book of Genesis, as it unfolds, there's another story of blessing where we see this same pattern. Now, in this one, kind of this other story, one of Abraham's descendants is named Jacob, and it's now in the kind of latter part of Jacob's life. And when Jacob was younger, if you know the story, he was desperate for blessing. He actually tricked his father, Isaac, into giving Jacob the blessing that Isaac had intended for Jacob's older brother, Esau. And Esau becomes so angry that this blessing has been stolen by his brother that he vows that he's going to kill Jacob, and Jacob flees. But now it's many years later, and Jacob is returning home. But he has some people that go ahead of him. He hears that Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men, and Jacob is scared to death. So on the night before they meet, he sends his family on ahead. And in the story, Jacob ends up wrestling with this mysterious stranger that we eventually find out is the angel of God. Then the angel tells Jacob to let him go. And we pick up the story there in Genesis 32, verse 26. It says, but Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What is your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. But your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. Please tell me your name, Jacob said. Why do you want to know my name? The man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. The angel changes his name from Jacob, which means grasper, to Israel, which means one who contends with God. Names, they're this powerful reality for us. For those of you that are adults, you think back maybe to your middle school years, and you might still be able to remember the pain, or even maybe still feel defined by some of the names that maybe some of your friends or even some kids that didn't like you called you in middle school. And for those of you that are in middle school right now, you might be experiencing that right now. And, you know, these names, they can be so harsh. Maybe somebody called you stupid or called you ugly or fatso or nerd or said you were annoying or you're weird. And listen, I want you to hear this because I know this is going to help somebody. You've been listening to all the other names that people have called you. Maybe it's time for you to let God start calling you names. Maybe it's time for you to let God be the one who calls you some names. God wants to call you some names. Will you hear his name for you? He wants to call you blessed. He wants to call you son or daughter, beloved. He wants to call you secure, courageous. He wants to name you full of faith, more than enough, joyful, peaceful. He wants to name you kind. He wants to name you strong. He wants to name you generous. He wants to name you wanted. He wants to name you wonderfully made, forgiven. He wants to name you adopted. He wants to name you with me forever. This is not some type of self-help pep rally. This is not Stuart Smalley looking into a mirror. This is God naming you and God naming me and changing our stories as he blesses us, blessing us with the names that are the names that he has abundant and good plans for you and for me as we step into 2020. Your freedom in 2020 lies completely in hearing God's name for you above and beyond what anyone else has ever said about you, above and beyond what anybody else has ever named you. And by the way, God is not done naming you yet. In the book of Revelation, listen to this, it says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone," and listen to this, "with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it." Look, we need to look for and acknowledge and embrace and celebrate that there is a God who is waiting in 2020 to bless you, to bless your life, to give you his name for your life. Because you cannot bless others if you yourself will not recognize that God is blessing you. We must see ourselves as richly blessed by God. When the greatest teacher who ever lived preached the greatest sermon that was ever taught, it started with a single word, and the word was blessed. In fact, a little bit later on, I think probably in 2020 this will happen, one of our upcoming series is going to be on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which it just starts off by saying, blessed, 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 blessed. People would bring children to Jesus, and he would take them into his arms, and he would put his hands on them, and he would bless them. Jesus can do that through you and me. God's dream is that you and I, that this church, this community, that we would become this little blessing factory, that the church blesses others because a blessing will change a life forever. Now let me bring us back to Jacob's story. Now he has the new name Israel and his blessing. The angel, he gives this blessing of God a new name, but he also gives him a strange gift. The angel touches the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip is wrenched. Now, why the hip? Why does he touch him on the hip? Why doesn't he touch him on the shoulder or somewhere else? Well, the text doesn't really say, but I think there's a hint in his name. Jacob was a grasper. He was a wrestler. And where I grew up in Pittsburgh, high school wrestling was a big deal. I knew a ton of wrestlers, huge sport in Pittsburgh. And here's what every single wrestler learns. Your strength is in your hip. When someone's trying to pin your shoulders, you turn your hips and your shoulders follow. Your hips, your strength as a wrestler is actually in your hip. If you don't want to get pinned, you roll your hips and they won't be able to get your shoulders on the ground. Now we're told the next morning that the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel and he was limping because of his hip. Now Jacob, he looks up and here comes Esau, his brother. And the text says that Esau ran to meet Jacob. But notice, Jacob doesn't run to Esau. Because Jacob's running days are over. Because now he's going to walk with a limp. The rest of his life, he's going to walk with a limp. And Esau's heart melts. And remember, the last time that Esau saw Jacob, he swore that he would kill him. It says, but Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. Something about Jacob's brokenness touched Esau's heart in a way that Jacob's strength and cleverness never could. Jacob is given a blessing and Jacob is giving a limp. Or maybe his limp is his blessing. Maybe it is our limps that save us from the narcissism to think that we can do this life on our own strength. Maybe it is our limps that help us be a little bit more understanding of others around us who walk with a limp. Oh, their limp might be different than our limp, but you recognize that they're limping just like you limp. Maybe our limp builds in us the desire to bless others who are limping because we too have walked with a limp. Maybe you and I will bless more people with our limp than all of our strength. Maybe blessed are those who limp into 2020, for they walk with God. Now Jacob, he gets this blessing in a limp. But you follow his story all the way through to the end of Genesis. And this one, he's blessed and he limps and he ends up, humanly speaking, becoming the greatest blesser in all the Bible. And Genesis 49 is devoted to laying out the details of the blessing that Jacob gives to his sons, plural. And that's important because if you remember his story, Jacob's dad, Isaac, wanted to just bless one of his two sons. But notice Jacob, at the end of his life, he gathers all of his sons, not just one of them. This is the end of the chapter there in Genesis 49. It says, all of these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And we get the names of the 12 tribes of Israel from the 12 sons of Jacob. And it goes on and says, and this is what their father said to them when he blessed them, giving each the blessing that was appropriate to him. The one who tried to steal a blessing ends up meeting God and is blessed by God and now becomes a liberal spreader of blessings to all of his sons. Now let me zero in on one of the blessings in Genesis 49 verse 10. It's a blessing. Jacob is blessing his son Judah. It says this. It says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. He ties his foal to a grapevine, the colt of his donkey to a choice vine. He washes his clothes in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. Now, this is actually a message about what God is going to do through Judah. It's a prophecy that the coming one, the Messiah, will come through the line of the tribe of Judah. And Jesus, in fact, does come to us through the line of the tribe of Judah. And he does, in fact, ride a foal into Jerusalem. And he did, in fact, wash his robes in wine, which was symbolic language for shedding his blood. And why did Jesus do all this? In John 10:10, he tells us, Jesus is speaking. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and here's the key word, and have it abundantly. What does blessing mean? It means to confer effective or abundant life on someone or something. He goes on and says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In other words, I'm going to lay down my life so that you can have the blessed life that my father intended for you, the abundant life, a blessed life. God from the very beginning has wanted to give you a blessed life. And the enemy has wanted to steal it, and Jesus has come to take it back from the enemy so he can restore it to you. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that every desire is plopped into our laps from now on, whatever we want, kind of a genie in a bottle, it all happens. But it might mean instead of fabulous riches, we might be blessed with a steady income and cars that last a long time. Instead of fame, we might be blessed with good friends and a good church community where people will share our burdens and we can share their burdens as well. Instead of every toy we can imagine, we might be blessed with contentment and joy and the beauty of creation, not to mention all the blessings of heaven that await. Blessed to be a blessing. Now listen, see, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir on this one because you already do this. If you were here at our Christmas services 2 weekends ago, we announced that because of your ongoing generosity, the elders of Christian Assembly discerned that the Lord was asking us to cancel $5.3 million in medical debt for the poor in the entire city of Los Angeles, as well as 27 other neighborhoods, making a total of 28 neighborhoods. And if you followed the news at all in the last 14 days, it shocked us because it quickly became national news and even international news story. I mean, Good Morning America was like, can we broadcast from inside your sanctuary at 2 a.m.? So they broadcast from right there at 2 a.m. so that they could tell the story. I'm like, okay, I guess if that's really what you want to do. Believe it or not, CNN picked up the story. They were like, look, we want to do an interview with you. I said, I can't. I'm going to be in Pittsburgh. They're like, that's okay. We have a studio in Pittsburgh. We'll send a car to pick you up. I'm like, all right. And I don't think it's too much to say that literally millions and millions and millions of people have heard about this story. And they have heard this line over and over again that I've said, people matter to God. People matter to God. It's become a top shared story. Yeah, we can thank God that people matter to him. This story has become a top shared story on CNN.com as well as ABC, LA Times, and more. Jesus tells us to let our good deeds shine out before people that they might see and praise our Father who is in heaven. And what's been the most interesting to me about all of this is that I've gotten email after email, message after message, conversation after conversation with people around the country. And they say things like this: I'm an atheist, but I wish that I lived in Los Angeles so that I could come to a church like Christian Assembly. That's what God is doing through you. Another one said this. This person lives right here in Monrovia. I'm a Muslim, but I'm so inspired by what your church is doing that I'm going online to make a donation so I can be part of what Christian Assembly is doing. Another person said this. I used to be a Christian, but I walked away from faith. But because of the news story of what Christian Assembly is doing, it's making me think that I need to come back home to Jesus. Signed, a prodigal on their way back home because of what you have done. Over and over again, I've had people say this: I'm a pastor. Our church wants to do what you all did. In fact, I was talking with the nonprofit staff, Rest in Peace Medical Debt, the nonprofit staff that we partnered with, and they said, listen, we don't even know what it is you all are doing, but we're getting so many inquiries from congregations around the country who want to do this in 2020 that we actually are in the midst of hiring a bunch of staff to be able to execute the amount of debt that churches want to pay off throughout the country now. God's dream is that we would become a little blessing factory, all to his glory, so that people could know that people matter to God, because we follow a God who blesses. So in the midst of all this unfolding, some of us who are elders, I'm one of them, but there are others who are praying, and I just felt like the Lord was leading us to Hebrews 10:24. This is what it says: let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds. And so because of your ongoing generosity, I have a little second announcement to make and share with you. God has blessed our neighbors here in LA, right? We already did that. But we think that God is asking us to stir up this work in other cities across the U.S. as well, just because of the response and the number of pastors saying, I wish we could do this as well. So here's what we're going to do. It's a little complicated to explain it, so hang with me. In 2020, we are going to seek to identify Christian churches in at least 10 other U.S. cities that are interested in canceling the unpaid medical debt for the poor in their city. We are going to ask them to consider paying off up to $1 million in medical debt for the impoverished neighbors in their city. To stir them up to love and good deeds, CA, we are going to offer to match them dollar for dollar up to a $1 million limit per city of unpaid medical debt. So this means, CA, that our elders, because of your kind of ongoing generosity, we didn't just double down, we've now tripled down on the amount of medical debt that we will be paying off, though it'll be around the country, not just in our city, contingent upon finding other Christian congregations that will do that in their city. Combined between what we will give and what they will give, like what they give and we match, it will clear a total of $20 million in unpaid medical debt in at least 10 cities in the U.S. for the poor in Jesus' name. And all of this is on top of the $5.3 million of medical debt that we canceled as a Christmas gift for the poor in Los Angeles. Now, to be clear, this new gift will cost us $100,000 because we're able to purchase the debt a penny on the dollar. Now, where is this money going to come from? The money's going to come from you. But here's the good news. You've already given it, and we already have it because you've been so generous in 2019. Here's just a little story. This isn't even the notes, but I just want to tell you this. So we do our Christmas services, and our giving in service goes up by 45% compared to the previous year. Just hear this. We gave a $50,000 gift to the poor, and within 12 hours of announcing it, you all not only gave above and beyond what we had the previous year, you actually gave way above that. And so I'm talking to our elders saying, well, actually, we gave that 50 grand away, but they gave almost 80,000 more in the service. So let's round it up to 100 and see what God would do with that, because it's your generosity that is empowering, and I know you're being generous because of what God is doing in your life. Now, we believe that this new initiative, the 10 Cities Initiative, will impact more than 20,000 households in the U.S. this year. Each one of those households will receive a letter, as previously explained. The gift is no strings attached, and believe it or not, I literally just got back from vacation, but we already have the first church in the first city, and they're going to be sharing the information with their congregation in 2 weekends, and they're not only going to clear all the debt in their city, they're going to clear the debt in their entire state, and we're going to get to be part of that. And so we'll be announcing that in a couple weeks. Yeah. Now, we are looking for 9 more churches in 9 more U.S. cities. I already have a bunch of conversations going on. But just be praying that God would lead us to the right partners for that. Now, this is what God does when we decide that we're so blessed we don't want to choke off the blessing. Jesus says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. What God is doing in history, God wants to do in your life in 2020. It's summed up in Jesus' actions on the night he first instituted communion. This is what we're told in Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the for many for the forgiveness of sins." Do you see the pattern there? He took the bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it and then he gave it. That is the gospel pattern every year, and that is the gospel pattern this year. God wants to take your life and he wants to bless it. And he wants to break it and he wants to give it. God, take me into your hands. Bless me. Bless us. Confer abundant and effective life on each of us this new year. And break us, God. God's blessing can't happen without the type of brokenness that the Bible teaches us about. This isn't any type of breaking. What's the kind of breaking that God wants to do in your life this year? He wants to break the pride of our strength, just like he did for Jacob. Why? Because when we're prideful about our own strength, then God can't give you as a blessing to anyone, because then you'll make it all about your strength rather than about his glory. God, break in me stubbornness, and break in me greed and addiction. Break in us fear and worry, anxiety and insecurity, so that my life might not be all about me, but it would be all about you. And then give my life. Blessed so that I can become a blesser with a new name and a new message. Not look at how great I am, but instead look at how great God is. And look at what he's done for me, and he can do that for you too in this new year. Let's pray. Before we come to this communion table, I want to just invite you to count the ways that God has blessed you. Maybe even just think back over the last year. How has God blessed you? How has he conferred effective and abundant life on you? Where have you seen fruitfulness in your life? In your relationships? In your work life? In your relationship with God? Where have you seen growth? Where have you seen fruit? Where has the fruit of his presence come? Where have you grown in greater love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control? And yet now you're humble enough to recognize it's not because you did a self-help plan. It's because you kept bending your knee to the one who wanted to bless you. Where do you need to thank God for the blessings he's given you? And let me just ask you before we come to this table, ask God, how does he want to give you this year as a blessing to those around you? What has to be broken in your life for that to happen? What pride, what greed, what insecurity, what busyness? What's the thing that you're saying, God, take my life and bless me, but break this in me so that then you can give me as a blessing? Lord, break in us anything that is against your will for our life. Let this year be a year that we say, yes, we are blessed by him to be a blesser with a new name and a new message. No longer afraid to step into the future that God has for us because we know the one who goes ahead of us to meet us there. Now we're going to do communion in a moment. And I want to do something just a little bit different. And I know this is maybe not how we normally do it, but just love it if you could do this with me. When you have the tray come by, if you're a follower of Christ, you can take the bread, remembering it, and the juice. Then when you pass the elements, I want you to turn and look at the person. Now, you might know them. You maybe came here with them. Maybe you didn't come here with them. But I want you to turn, and I want you to just say a little blessing to them. Just say, may God bless you in this new year and make you a blessing to others, right? It's not complicated. It's not hard. Don't say more than that. We don't need to hear a lot more than that. They don't want to hear more than that. God told me they don't want to hear more than that. So just say that. Here it is, right? You're just going to say, may God bless you in this new year and make you a blessing to others, okay? Now, if you're not a follower of Christ, then you're just going to, you can still bless someone, right? But you're just going to let the elements go ahead and pass on by. And so, ushers, would you go ahead and come? And Lord, now, you who took the bread and you blessed it, broke it, and gave it as a remembrance of what you've done, help us remember you now. In Jesus' name, amen.